whether it's a sponsorship or a connection or a company, like you can't take that for granted ever. You always have to treat it like you just got it and that it could go away at any time.
Hello, welcome to episode 172 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. Joining us today is Melissa Tucci, the official real estate agent of the San Diego Padres. With more than 23 years in the industry, Melissa has won countless awards, including being the number one ranked Coldwell Banker agent in California for five straight years. Using a relentless work ethic and expert market knowledge, Melissa became the only agent ever endorsed by the San Diego Padres, serving all members of the organization. Throughout our conversation, Melissa touched on a wide variety of topics, including how she markets her properties, being in tune with your entire market, the importance of going above and beyond for any partners or sponsors you gain, and her number one tip for new agents breaking into the business. But before we get on to today's featured interview, the all-new Smart Agents magazine has launched and is full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you will find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Subscribe now to receive your copy of the printed magazine each month and instantly get access to our online agent community and members-only templates. Click the link in the episode description or go to smartagents.com/magazine. Also, if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to like and subscribe. The Smart Agents Podcast streams on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and of course, YouTube. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Melissa Tucci. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you do as well. So really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at in the country.
Okay, perfect. So my name is Melissa Tucci. I'm a real estate broker with Coldwell Banker in San Diego, California. I've been doing real estate for almost 23 years now, and I work all over the county and city of San Diego and love what I do. Very much a passion. I always tell people it's not a job, it's a way of life. And so I'm happy to be here.
What, first of all, when did you get started in real estate and what was it that got you interested in the field?
Yeah, so I got started about 23 years ago. And prior to real estate, I was selling yellow page advertising, which is door knocking, cold calling, really, you know, it was a tough one. For every 500 no's, you might get one maybe. And so I really learned and honed on a lot of my, you know, sales and just being able to combat any negative with positives and looking at the glass half full versus half empty. And I ended up getting my real estate license just almost like a fluke. Like, you know, I don't know if this is something I really want to do, but it has the ability to, you know, really take things to the next level because I was kind of capped out from where I was. And it's just, it soared, you know, right away. And it seemed like it was my calling and that I was supposed to be doing it.
Right. So when you first got in, what were, you know, how did you start getting business? What were you doing to start build that sphere and start, you know, kind of scaling things up?
Sure. So I actually would call expired listings, you know, and that's where when the listing is no longer active and, you know, the sellers are frustrated. Why didn't it sell? You know, my agent didn't, you know, it's amazing. You hear all these different stories, you know, sometimes it's the property, sometimes it's the agent, et cetera. But I mean, I was so new when I did it and it was kind of like fake it till you make it kind of a thing, just because I'm like, I have the people skills. I know about properties. And anyway, long story short, and at the time I would call people at like 7 a.m., which now I'm like, oh my gosh, people would be kind of irritated if you call them that early. but you had to, because it was, you were competing with so many other people doing it. And I got my first listing that way. So that was actually my first sale, was not a buyer, was a seller, which is a little unusual. Right. And then from that listing, I got five buyers. from buyer leads of that listing. And then it just kind of, you know, spun off from there. And it was just, you know, I just kept on ramping up more and more and more. I worked a lot of open houses as well. That's a really good way to get out and meet people. But that's really what started it. Just calling on that expired listing, got that listing, got buyers from there. And then the rest is history.
So with that expired and getting so many referrals from it, I think that's a great way to, you know, you're working with people that maybe were frustrated with an agent. And if you're able to come in and get them across the finish line, get their home sold for them, you're automatically, you know, you should be like the best person they've ever met by then. And right. You know, and so that's a great, you know, those expireds are a great source of people to eventually get more referrals from, you know, if everything goes well.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll never forget, because I was sitting in the kitchen, dining room table, we were going over everything, and two other agents rang the bell because they had an appointment, but I had the earliest appointment. So it was like so cutthroat. I was like, what is going on? And I went on that appointment for like over 4 hours. And when it was all said and done, and the guy had owned other properties, and he was just like, you were the best agent I've ever had. And it was like, you know, it was just amazing, you know, but I put everything into that. And I still try to do that, you know, obviously to this day.
Right. And, you know, for new agents, but then seasoned agents, you know, how important is it to really put everything you have into each listing that you do have so that it does generate more business down the line?
It's, you have to do it, because if you don't, it's just a wasted effort all the way around. I mean, this is, you know, this is people's biggest assets. It's their biggest investment, and people want that extra customer service. They want you to go above and beyond. And, you know, my whole philosophy is always, you know, the customer comes first, the client comes first. You know, I always try to answer my phone or respond, you know, quickly or immediately, and just do a very systematic and strong marketing plan. Always give updates, always be professional. I mean, it's really, you only have one chance to make the best first impression. And then you also have to, you know, be there for them and listen to them and give them feedback and guidance. Like, you're not just, you know, they're real estate professional, but a lot of times people just need guidance, forecast, what's going to go on with the market. I mean, obviously no one has a crystal ball, but you need to keep up on the education side as well as the personal side to be able to have them have that comfort level and build that trust. Because then with that trust, they're going to listen to you and respect what you have to say and, you know, follow your guidance.
Right. You know, and you touched on it. It just, how much stuff you have to do as a real estate agent. And that doesn't include, you know, real life and all the other things that come up. As you know, a real estate agent is not a 9-to-5 job where you can turn everything off. There's so many different things you need to do for that one listing, let alone if you have a whole bunch other going on. How important is it to have, to, you know, first really make sure the things that you're doing on a daily basis are revenue generating, and you're not just spinning your wheels on something that maybe doesn't work with your personality or, you know, business model. And then once you do find all those things, having the ability to find assistants, whether they virtual or not, to help take care of some of the more day-to-day tasks that take you away from, you know, being in front of your clients.
Sure. So what a lot of people find that they tend to do is they look at what a lot of successful people who have done things in the business and want to try to emulate that. And the problem is sometimes that might not be what you're good at. So for example, you know, there's agents that have been around for 40 plus years and they would knock their farm, you know, their area that they want to sell in, and, you know, and give people like business cards or little notepads. And for me personally, like, that isn't something. I was much better on the phone or doing a lot of internet marketing or doing a lot of different functions, you know, so you have to find what works best for you and not try to do something that's really not, you know, something that you're ultimately good at or that you like. And so I think that's super important. And then same thing with, you know, I was probably about, let's see, maybe 5 or 6 years into getting after I got my license and when I hired my first assistant. And I typically only have one assistant at a time. And I try not to go through too many assistants. Obviously, I had one actually for 8 years. And between the two of us, we probably worked, I don't know, a 50-hour day when, there's only 24 hours in a day. But it's really important for tasks like, dropping off flyers, picking up a lockbox, like little things that just take away time to be able to do the other things or to get new business or to work on existing clients that you have to meet with. So I think it's really important to prioritize what. If something is not working for you, don't continue doing it because you can't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And I think that's extremely important. And if you do find something that works for you, really focus on that and, try to hone in on, the best that you could do.
Right. And when it comes to your market specifically, San Diego, I mean, it's very eclectic market, a lot of different places, a lot of different price points. When it comes to serving a market like that, do you focus on a certain area or do you try to really, be knowledgeable about everything?
I know you can't be knowledgeable about everything everywhere, but I will say I really don't just stick to one area. And the reason being is I've had clients that have lived in, like beach areas that want to move to North County, that want to move inland, that want to move south. And so over the years, I've really gotten to know so many different neighborhoods and communities. And so I really do pride myself on saying I do work all over the county. I mean, I could be driving 250 miles in one day, literally, just based on some of my clients. And sometimes people will say, well, how could you be good at being in this neighborhood and that neighborhood? And it's because, I average selling about 150 homes a year. And if I've been doing this almost 23 years, you really, there's not, there's a lot of properties in San Diego, but it's a smaller community overall. And you really do get to know different niche neighborhoods. And that way you become more educated for your client who's maybe not finding what they like and what they think is their neighborhood that they want to be in. And it's like, you know what? Why don't you consider this? And then I can make different recommendations as well as when I'm listing a property. A lot of times, if a neighborhood specialist will say, well, I'm the neighborhood specialist and, go with me because, I live in the neighborhood. But the thing is that most of the time that person who's buying does not live in the neighborhood. And you really want someone that has an exceptional marketing plan that's going to get the most amount of traffic and people to that neighborhood. So there's two ways of looking at everything. And I, really stress that obviously you can't be good at everything everywhere, but with the amount of experience, I really feel confident in being able to say that I could do the best job and better, than my peers based on my history and work ethic and just all my, statistics and whatnot over the years.
Right. And, tell me a little bit about the type of marketing that you do for your listings. I have to imagine with the success that you've done, you've kind of, or the success you found that you've definitely found what works to bring
Sure.
buyers to your
Yes.
listings.
Well, when I first got into the business, you always had to advertise in like the main newspaper, right? And people would get these full page ads. And now people are like, what's the newspaper? It's
Right.
like people aren't even reading the newspaper anymore. So really, obviously when I first get a listing, I always like to do, high-end professional photography, virtual walkthroughs, 3D Matterports, drone footage, video. So that's really important to have, the presentation because again, it's you only get one chance at making that first impression. And then from there, I'm on a television show that's called The American Dream that started in San Diego about 12 years ago, and it's in almost 100 cities now. So I get to feature my clients on that television show that actually goes on TV as well as Amazon and Roku as well. I'm on a radio talk show. I have a live podcast that I advertise on, a Facebook Boost podcast as well. I'm a do extensive internet marketing. So I'm like, I'm a premier agent of Zillow, Realtor.com, and Trulia. A couple of years ago, I hired a marketing company that systematically posts five times a day for me. on social media like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn. And I, of course, do like broker caravans. I do e-blast to agents all over the county, as well as throughout California and even out of state. So I'll advertise in the Wall Street Journal, the Rob Report, Jet Set Magazine. I do a ton of blogging. I mean, I could go on and on. I have a really systematic marketing plan. But you have to, because, you know, everyone just says like, okay, well, we could just put this on the multiple listing, you know, the MLS, and just hope for the best. And then, of course, the MLS does feed to all these different sites now because of the way the technology and the sync, you know, the algorithms and et cetera. But you really do need to take it to that next level, especially when you have a unique property, or, you know, with the market changing, with the high interest rates, with things having longer market times. You know, you need to make sure you're constantly marketing to so many different audiences.
Right. And I really love that idea, you know, like how you are marketing in, you know, outlets that are not anywhere close to, you know, necessarily a local publication. And, you know, to be able to bring in those out of state buyers for your listings. I think that's, you know, really smart and important way to bring in new eyeballs to those unique properties.
Absolutely.
So tell me, I'm really interested about the official real estate agent of the San Diego Padres. Tell me what that is and how that all got started.
Sure. And that actually goes into my advertising as well. So I've been the official agent of the San Diego Padres for going on 10 years. I'm the only agent that they've ever endorsed, which is obviously an honor, very humbling. And so it just happened. I was contacted from a past client who had an affiliation through the Padres that they were interviewing people based on their credentials for some type of, you know, marketing slash partnership. And if I would be interested, and I've like, of course, I mean, you know, I've always been a baseball fan. And so long story short, I met with their marketing director, and then I met at the time with the CEO and the general partner, and they presented based on, you know, they wanted someone with a certain track record and statistics, et cetera, you know, of course, to make sure, because they would want to endorse me. And so we were able to come up with a partnership where I would be able to also benefit, meaning I have advertisement on their TVs during the game. I'm on the billboard, on the signage. I get to advertise with all their season ticket holders, their marketing partners. And it took, you know, everyone, of course, it's, you know, it's glamorous and it's like, oh, do you help all the players? And I mean, the reality is a lot of the players, you know, because they get traded often, don't end up purchasing, you know, they end up renting. But it took me probably a good 6 years to really earn my keep with the organization and have people get to know me and trust me to be able to get the referrals within the organization. So ownership, front office, and players. And so it's been amazing. I mean, it's one of those things where not only do I get to help a lot of the Padre players and a lot of the staff, but then of course, you know, with all of the marketing and advertising as well, that is just additional exposure for my clients, my listings, and just getting, you know, like some more eyeballs on everything.
Right. And you mentioned that, you know, it took a few years to earn the trust. And I think that, you know, when any, regardless of what type of affiliation or what type of partnership an agent has with an organization, you know, most agents don't have a Padres organization in their market, but they might have a local minor league hockey team, for example. And if you get that partnership, how important is it to really go above and beyond to work with that organization and that partnership to make sure that you are, you know, kind of showing that you're putting your everything into your end of the partnership?
I mean, it's extremely important because you got there and you were able to get that contact, but you have to keep that contact and you have to want them to respect you and to recommend you and refer you. And so, you know, I would do, I mean, I'll do anything for clients. Like I'm always available if someone needs to call me at, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And a lot of people aren't like that. But for me, I just put my clients first. And I go above and beyond. So it's not just for the Padres and all of their contacts, but it's for everyone. But, especially when you get something to that caliber, where, I'm the only agent that they've ever personally endorsed versus other MLB teams might have, a company that they endorse, but not an individual. I have to make sure that everything is absolutely perfect and that I go absolutely above and beyond, but that's just who I am and what I do anyway. But of course, it's very near and dear to me because I work very hard to get it and to sustain that relationship. And I would not want anything, to get in the way or to ruin it or, to make anything where, they only see me in this, light and that they know that I'll do anything for them, their staff, their players. And then, then they could feel comfortable recommending, their brother's cousin, and that's how this whole, real estate market works. But it's extremely important. So anytime you get any type of, whether it's a sponsorship or a connection or a company, like you can't take that for granted ever. You always have to treat it like you just got it and that it could go away at any time because it really could, and that's why you always have to exceed any expectation. And I really am a firm believer of that.
Right. And, with an organization like the Padres and, if somebody had a partnership with a business that maybe is opening up a new branch in their area, how different, I have to imagine the relocation part of the business has to be pretty big because you have a lot of people, coming in from maybe other organizations or, they're brand new to the Padres organization or they're moving up from a minor system in maybe Arizona or something like that. How much of your business and the dealings you have with those clients is that, not just the home itself, but the area of town that you're recommending they live in and things like that based on their families?
Sure. So it's a little different with the Padres players because a lot of them want to be closer to the ballpark, but not too close. So some of the, when they're first transferred here, especially if they don't have families or kids or anything like that, a lot of them want the walkability to the ballpark. But then when you get after a couple of years, you're like, I don't want to be able to walk. I want to, be able to drive and get away a little bit. But usually it's more of like a 20-minute drive max because you have to remember with all the games they play and travel to the airport, you want to still be, you don't want to have an hour drive going to and from. So it kind of limits some of the areas. And then of course, a lot of them talk amongst themselves too, like, oh, I live here. And then of course, especially if they're being relocated from, out of state, you think San Diego, you think water, you think ocean, right? And so then people want, to focus on having, an ocean view. So there's so many different, facets with that. But I, of course, always listen to what they need and give my recommendations in that respect as well.
Yeah. Well, I know you are a very busy person. It is a Monday for you, and I don't want to take up much of your time, but I do want to ask, for somebody to achieve the success that that you have, what is that, maybe that one piece of advice that you give to new agents, to make sure that they're setting themselves up on a path of success?
Sure. I think it's super important to have work ethic, and sometimes you can't teach that, but you could try. And you need to get yourself out there and you can't expect business to come to you. You have to go get it, right? And so a lot of times it's, asking agents if they could sit on an open house, maybe going to, if you're passionate about a charity or a religious organization, talking, introducing yourself, letting people know what you do, and making sure you're educate on the market, know your area, know price points. Once you're a real estate professional, if you run into people, you always get the same question, like, oh, how's the market? And it's just this like overall general question, but you want to, in San Diego County, there's 27,000 agents. And, typically 10% of the agents do 90% of the business. And you want to be that percentage that people listen to and know that you know what you're talking about and that you're knowledgeable. And obviously when you first start out, you know, sometimes you don't know a lot, but that's why you have to just, you have to try and find what works for you. And if you feel like you're kind of going on like a hamster wheel and it's not working, then do something else. Cause like I said before, you can't expect different results by doing the same thing. But you have to try and you have to give it your all. And, you know, and if you do that, I really do think that you could be successful and find out what you're good at. Cause some people might be good at, you know, door knocking versus cold calling versus your sphere of influence, you know, contact your dentist's office, your doctors. I mean, the sky's the limit. And especially too with internet marketing and social media marketing, there's so much you could do. Cause when I started, we didn't have, you know, the social media marketing that the way it is now. And a lot of times people are like, well, I don't have the budget for that. But social media, you could do a lot for very little, if not at no cost. And so find out what you're good at. Is it social media? Is it talking to people in person? Is it doing open houses? And just give it your all and make sure, you know, you really push hard on that work ethic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just by putting your all into every single listing, I mean, you never know what one thing might lead to the next. You never know that who somebody might know that they refer you to. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, doing stuff with the Padres or some other organization in your market.
Right. And I'll leave you a perfect example. I had met a client years ago at an open house and they had a very small condo that I sold to them. And we, you know, and I like to keep in touch with clients, you know, and update and follow up. I do quarterly gifts, you know, that's a whole nother thing too, but staying in front of people. And they ended up having a contact that they were the trustee on, and it was almost a $6 million property from something that started out as a few hundred thousand dollar, you know, walk in at an open house. And you build these relationships. And if I didn't do the open house that day and I didn't keep in touch with them 10 years later, then they wouldn't have thought of me. So it doesn't happen overnight, but you just have to keep on building it up and up, and it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, I do really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us today.
I appreciate your time as well. Thanks so much for having me.
I want to thank Melissa for joining us today and really appreciate her taking the time to share the advice gained over the course of her career. If you're interested in following Melissa, I've included links to her social media pages in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.